Proverbs chapter 28, and I want to draw your attention to one verse. That is in verse number 13. And talk to you about something that we miss sometimes when we try to deal with our sin, something that we missed. Most of us are familiar with this verse, and we want to just take a closer look at it this evening and pray that the Lord would help us in our relationship with Him, that we might draw closer to the Lord. So Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy." Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word. We pray, God, that You would use it to help us in our relationship with You. Lord, we try to seek Your mind today and try to get discernment. And Lord, I believe this is where we need to be. I ask You, God, that You would help this to be a fresh word to us. Lord, help us give attention to it. I pray, God, that You would use it to help us in our walk with You. Lord, help us when we have to acknowledge our sin, Lord, to be serious about that acknowledgement, Lord, to seek forgiveness, and also, Lord, help us that we might forsake it. And I pray, God, that You give us each grace and mercy to do that. Some of us are struggling with sin that we don't want to acknowledge, that we don't want to confess. We don't want to admit that I have sinned. And I pray, God, that You would help us by the moving of the Holy Spirit to forsake that vain effort. Lord, help us to admit and to confess and, Lord, agree with You. And then, God, help us turn away from sin. Lord, meet with us tonight. I pray You'd have Your way in this service. We ask that You would be glorified in everything that's said and done. Help us to speak the truth. To speak the truth in love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Of course, the king of Israel, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived on the earth, wrote many proverbs. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible records that he wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 different songs. As you read through the Proverbs, you'll find sermons in a single verse, just weighty thoughts in one little verse throughout the Psalms. Over and over again, words that are quickening, challenging, correcting words, instructive words. And that's why the book of Proverbs is such an important book when it comes with our need to deal with our sin. This is probably one of the most practical verses on dealing with our sin.
Amen.
There's a lot of that Solomon says about sin and the folly of sin, but this is a very practical verse about how that we are to deal with our sins, and we ought to deal with our sins. I think if we were to look closely in the mirror of God's Word, we'd probably find more spots and wrinkles than we want to admit that are there. There are more things that we are not doing that displeases the Lord than we are doing that pleases Him. And we like to think that we have it all lined out just right, that we're doing everything like we ought to, but let's be honest. We all have to admit that we are not nearly as like Christ as we need to be. Amen?
Amen.
And this life, this Christian life, is an ongoing sanctifying progress. We should be becoming more and more holy, more and more like Christ. Every day, every week, every year, we should see some spiritual growth. We should see some maturing.
Amen.
When the Apostle Paul wrote the Corinthians, he ministered there for 2 years. And at the end of 2 years, he was shocked that they were still carnal. He said they should have been spiritual. I think his timeline for spiritual maturity is a lot shorter than our timeline is. Amen? And so, sin is like a cancer. It attacks the good part of you, seeks to destroy the rest of you. None of us were created to live in sin and rebellion. You ever thought about that? God created us to live in righteousness and holiness and obedience. When he made Adam and Eve, he didn't create Adam and Eve to live in sin. He created Adam and Eve to live holy and godly lives. Sin will never satisfy. It gives a little bit of pleasure, but oh, what price for that little bit of pleasure. Amen? And we might as well confess that and admit that. That's what the Bible says about sin. There is pleasure in sin for a season. But oh, how short that season is. Amen? Amen? And so what does this verse instruct us about sin? First of all, notice the concealing of sin. The Bible says, Solomon, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. To cover means to hide or conceal your sin. We try to hide our sin, and in hiding that sin, we think we might get by with it, be benefited by just covering it up and not acknowledging it. But he's clear in this verse, and he says, we will not prosper. That is, we will not succeed. Here's one. We will not advance. We cover our sin, but we can't make any spiritual progress. We can't be successful if we cover up our sin. We can't cover up our sin in reality anyway, if you think about it, right? Because there's the all-seeing God who is never concealed from seeing our sin. He always sees all of our sins. We can't hide anything from God. God sees all and he knows all. Amen? We might try to hide it from others, but we certainly can't hide it from God. Achan, when he took the accursed thing, dug a hole in his tent, wrapped his bedding over it, and then inside the tent, right, went in the tent, dug a hole, put his bedding over it, and thought, all right, nobody knows about this. Then God went, Israel went out to battle the next days against Ai, and they lost the battle. Joshua began to pray. He said, Lord, what's wrong? And he said, there's sin in the camp. Nobody else knew there was sin in the camp. But God knew there was sin in the camp, right? Amen. David might have thought the killing of Uriah would cover up his sin. He may have thought maybe we can say the child was Uriah's child, but he died in battle. But it didn't cover up his sin. God laid on the heart of the prophet Nathan to go in there and say, David, you're the one that's guilty. Gehazi may have thought that Elisha would never know that he fled after Naaman to get the garment and the bag of silver. But as soon as he returned in to the prophet, the man of God, he said, where did you go, Gehazi? He said, what are you talking about? He said, did not my spirit go with you? I know you went to see Naaman. And the leprosy Naaman has will now be your leprosy. Not only will it be your leprosy, but every generation of your children, your descendants, they all will be lepers because Gehazi thought that he could cover up his sin. And we can't cover up in the sight of God, but neither is it ever. It comes out in life as well. We refer to this verse in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. That might not be exactly what it's referring to, because he's dealing with the tribes that were on the other side of the Jordan. And he says, if you don't go and help them, be sure your sin will find you out. You're going to face conflict and battle if you don't go in battle. But the principle is clear in the scriptures, right? Sin always has a way of coming out. It always gets exposed. It always comes to the surface. No matter how much we try to hide it. It always seems to find itself. I was watching a show with a game warden, and there was two older gentlemen on the boat with a young boy. And the game warden asked, "Have you caught any fish?" And their confident reply was, "No." So the game warden gets on the boat, goes look in the live well in the front. Of course, no fish in the live well. Go looks in the live well in the back. No fish in the live well at the back. Well, it looks like they have no fish. The game warden, being experienced, said, "What's in those buckets over there? Can I look at the buckets?" Pulls a couple of buckets apart, nothing. Pulls another bucket, and there they are. 17 sea bass. 12 of them, all but two, are not the right length. And they're way over the number that they could catch. I can't remember what the ticket was. But I'm sure as they stuck those sea bass in that ice, and then they put the buckets over them and said, "Let's don't put them in the live well," they thought, "Surely we're going to make it home and nobody's going to know." And lo and behold, wildlife and pulls them over in this, out in the water, says, "Let me check your license." Isn't that how it always works? And a lot of times the bank robber, when the police pulls behind him, he is just so afraid that they know I'm a bank robber. They know I'm guilty. Then he starts driving erratically, and the police officer says, "What is wrong with him?" Ends up pulling him over because he knows he's sinned. And because he knows he's sinned, he just knows that others know it as well. Amen?
Right.
You can't really cover it up. But oh, how we try to. Amen?
Right.
We make excuses for our sin. We blame others for our sin. We ignore the fact that we have sinned. We highlight our righteousness. We downplay our iniquities and our wickedness. Be assured of this. The Bible said, if we try to conceal it or cover it up, we will not prosper.
Right.
Secondly, notice what he said. The confessing of our sins. But whoso confesseth? Confessing, there must be an admission of guilt. In the Old Testament, when someone sinned, they would have to confess, verbally confess, "This is what my sin is." If they took a sin offering, they would go to the high priest, they put their hand on the lamb or the goat or whatever it was, the turtle doves, and not only would they kill a sin offering, they would have to say what this is all about. We would love a system that says, just bring the offering, you know, kill the offering, but don't verbally state what you're here for. Don't tell everybody that you've done some evil deed. Don't even let the high priest know. We used to have a friend that attended the Catholic Church before she was saved. And she said she would go to the confession booth. My father-in-law asked her, "Well, when you were in the confession booth, did you confess all your sins? You tell him everything you did?" She said, "Why, no, preacher." Even in the confession booth, people are not really willing to tell all of their evil and sin, right? But in order to get right with God, they had to admit. They had to confess. They had to openly, verbally state, "This sin offering is because I have done so and so." In Psalm 51, David confessed that he had sinned against God. I think in Psalm 51, we may not see a specific confession about the sin with Bathsheba, but I am convinced because of the spirit of Psalm 51, now there is a genuine confession, aren't you?
Yes.
He said, "I acknowledge my sin, and it's ever before me." He said, "Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Psalm 51 is a man who is willing to confess his sin so that he can get right with God. and the expression of Psalm 51 is, Lord, whatever I have to do to get right with you, that's what I want to do. You don't want a sacrifice. You want truth in the heart. And confession deals with that trueness of heart. In the New Testament, we see the need to confess sin as well. When John was baptizing in the River Jordan, John said, bring forth fruit, meat of repentance. I want you to come and openly confess you know Christ, and I want you to bring forth fruit, evidence of repentance. In 1 John 1, 9, the one that we know so well, the Bible says that we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great truth that is. Amen?
Amen.
And sadly, all of us have had to claim that one verse far too often. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm glad that that verse is still there, aren't you? The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. That word confess means that we are to agree with God. We have to take the side, not of the defender. We can't be defending our sin. We've got to get across the aisle and join in with the prosecution. We've got to be the one pointing the finger at ourselves and say, we were dirty, low-down, rotten sinners. We did terrible things. We have to openly and freely admit that we have done things that God has instructed us not to do. In order to get the forgiveness and the cleansing from all unrighteousness, confession is necessary.
Yes, it is.
We must agree with God that we have sinned against God. We must be like the prodigal in Luke 15 when he finally comes to himself. Amen?
Yes.
He had been out having a wild time living in a wild life, but in the hog pen, he finally comes to his lowest of lows and back to his senses, and he says, I need to go to my father and admit to my father I've sinned against you, and I've done evil in your sight. And he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll make things right with him. And so part of getting right with God is the confessing of our sins. Nowhere in the New Testament are we told to confess to a preacher or a priest. Nowhere in the Old Testament are we instructed that we need to go to a priest to necessarily confess our sins. We're to confess our sins to God. Now, James 5, verse 16 says we're to confess our faults one to another.
Yes.
I do believe if we're more humble in this area, more willing to admit, I believe this even as pastors, we're more willing to admit that we are but flesh, weak and sinful. We struggle with stuff ourselves that people in the pew wouldn't get the wrong idea. A lot of times the man in the pulpit tries to give the impression that he no longer sins, or he doesn't battle with sin. He doesn't struggle against sin. That's not true. As long as we live in this world, we'll be fighting the flesh. As long as we live in this world, we'll be struggling with things that we know that we ought to do, we have not done those. Or things that we shouldn't do, and yet we've done those as well. And so there's no one perfect, no one sinless, but no one has to go to a priest. Thank God we can go to our great high priest, amen, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will accept our confession, and Jesus Christ will faithfully forgive us of all our sins. Amen? Now the last step really is the one I want to get to. Because I think that's the something that's missing a lot of times. Often, we may try to hide our sins. We're guilty of that. I know that I have been guilty of that. Covering it up, not dealing with it immediately, lying to myself and saying, well, I'll deal with it later. And then it only slips from my mind, so I'm not as keenly aware of how I need to address this issue with God. Sometimes we try to cover our sins. Sometimes we confess our sins, but we don't forsake them. Listen, I know we all struggle. I know sometimes I've been in an altar, Sister Jackie, and I've been God has dealt with my heart about sin. I admit it, Lord. I've done wrong. I don't want to ever do this again. Lord, please keep me from ever doing this again. Only not to make it to church that night without messing up again. When in that altar, I had purpose in my heart to completely forsake it. I didn't want to have anything to do with it again, and yet I still have not the power to overcome it. I'm not talking about the struggle with sin. I'm not talking about the battle we have with the flesh sometimes to overcome certain sins. I think sometimes there's this thought that I can just say, God forgive me, and then I just continue living as though I don't need to change. And the writer of Proverbs tells us that is not the case. If we're going to find mercy from the Lord, we must not only admit that we have sinned against Him, but we also have to turn from that sin. That's the true ideal of confession. That's the true need. It's not just admitting, God, I messed up, but it's, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to end up doing things that are against your will or contrary to your will. The word forsake means to leave, depart from, even abandon. Thank the Lord that God has given me victory to abandon some of my sins. I'm sure if you're saved, He's given you victory to abandon some of yours. Amen?
Amen.
You know what victory feels like. Amen? But we also know there's those who confess sin, but really don't ever forsake them. Think of Pharaoh in the Old Testament. How many times Moses would come to him toward the end of the 10 plagues, and Pharaoh would say, forgive me, I've sinned, I'll let you go, only to retract that. Up to the 10th plague, he said that. I've sinned against you, I'm going to let you go. And then after they left, what did he do? He got the army together, and he went after them. Achan also confessed his sin, but he didn't repent. Remember, Achan confessed his sin only when they finally went through the whole casting of a lot progress. They found the tribe that he belonged to, found the family that he belonged to, found which of the brothers. Finally, they cast the lot on him. And he didn't confess until it finally felt, I think at the last moment, maybe he was hoping, maybe it'll fall on my other brother or something, you know. Until it fell on him, and Joshua said, hey, tell us what happened. You don't find Achan saying, well, I found a Babylonian garment, a wedge of gold, and some silver, and I hid it in my tent. Never does it confess until he's found out. The Lord doesn't want us to work that way. Amen?
Amen.
Achan confessed only because he had to. Again, you see that in the New Testament. I mentioned this verse a little bit earlier. When John the Baptist is baptizing in Jordan, he didn't want people just to say the words. He wanted them to demonstrate it by the way they lived. That's why he said in Matthew 3 and verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, or that demonstrate and prove repentance. Show your confession by changing your conduct. You can't keep practicing sin and claim that you're truly confessing. Amen?
Amen.
Paul confessed, and when Paul confessed, he forsook. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and from then on, he never went back to persecuting the church. Those are the things that the Lord wants from us. The Thessalonians also, when they embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul testified that it turned from idols to serve the true and living God. Amen? Sometimes we make some steps toward getting right with God, but the final step is the turning away from that sin. Amen? And I want to encourage you in that area. Even if you struggle with some certain sin, and you hit an altar before and you say, Lord, I don't want to ever do this again, and you found yourself back in its clutches and claws, it doesn't hurt to come back and say, Lord, I'm still battling this. I'm still struggling with this. And I still want you to free me from it. I don't want to practice this anymore. By the way, I'm glad, aren't you glad God knows our heart?
Yes, I am very
glad. I'm glad God knows our intention, whether or not we really want to forsake something or not. Amen?
Amen.
And God will give us grace to do that. If there's sin in your life, the best thing to do is to bring that sin to the Lord.
Amen.
Admit that you've wronged God, that you've sinned against God. Openly confess exactly what that sin is, and then determine by the grace of God no longer to practice that sin. Pray that God would give you victory over it, and continue to seek the Lord until He does give you that victory. Amen? And I hope that will be a help to you tonight. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, please bless Your word to our heart. Lord, we need Your help in these areas. Lord, help us to be convinced by Your word, Your living word, that there's no way we can really cover up our sin. Lord, You see us. You know us. No one else might know, but You do, Lord. In order for us to be right with You, God, we have to deal with You about our sin. Not the sin of somebody else, but, Lord, our sin. And I pray, God, that You'd help us to be willing to turn from and no longer hide things in our life that are displeasing to You. Lord, help us to be willing to openly speak of those things. Mention them to You in prayer. God, forgive me for this sin. To confess it, Lord, and take Your side against ourselves. And Lord, to agree with You that we have broken Your commandments. But then, Lord, give us grace and mercy that we could completely turn from sin. Give us victory over sin. Lord, help us to conquer these fleshly lusts that war against our souls. Help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And give us, God, power to live more holy, more godly lives. That in every way, God, we might bring You honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
What page, Brenda?